This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 81, sponsored by GeekArmor.com and Netflix.com. I don't want to do this. We asked for people to do it, right?
Yeah, we did.
Just have them do it.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 81. I'd like to introduce the hosts of the show, Ron, Connor, and Josh. They are iFanboy. They like comics. They read comics. Every week they read a bunch of comics. They pick the best one. They write about it on the website, www.ifanboy.com. Then they come and do the podcast and talk about that comic and other comics that came out that week. This show contains spoilers for comics that came out this week, so if you haven't read your comics yet, pause the show and come back once you have. You'll love the show that much more. Take it away, iFanboys.
Oh, he was better than us.
Wow.
Seriously.
I didn't think people would actually do it.
They should do it more, because he was quicker, you know? Although, you may want to say who you are in the future.
Yeah.
Take some credit for it, for God's sakes.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know who did that. Well, just think of people who might not have listened to last week. Last week we were talking about how we were tired of doing our intro, and if somebody wanted to give us a call and do the intro for us, you're more than welcome to. And Unknown did that.
good for you, Unknown.
Thank you, Blank.
We like you, Unknown. If you want to be known, Unknown, let us know that it was you, and we'll thank you next show. And if you want to send in an intro, go right ahead. We'll accept MP3s. You can call into the voicemail line. But, you know, have at it. This is your show too, guys, right?
Yes, sure.
Does that mean I don't have to do this?
Maybe just the intro part.
Okay.
All right, so I don't know where to go from here now.
Well, Unknown didn't mention that it's my week.
Okay.
Unknown, you slacked.
If only we knew how to punish. Who to punish?
He got away with it this time. My pick of the week was Fallen Son, the death of Captain America. Captain America. Did you guys know Captain America died?
Apparently. Well, I think he's died every week for the past.
I realized in the car on my drive home today why they named it this title.
What, Fallen Son?
No, why it was Fallen Son, the death of Captain America, Captain America. Because the previous issues were Fallen Son, death of Captain America, Wolverine, death of Captain America, Avengers.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't want to give away who this issue was actually about.
Well, there's the duality, but I'll get to that in a second. But for me, before we get into it, he's been dead for a while, and let's get on with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm enjoying this miniseries, but at the same time, like, when did that death issue come out?
Well, in February. Or no, March, was it? February, March? February.
I think it was February, because we said it's going to be May when the next one comes out, and I said that's 3 months.
Right.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous. Anyway.
I really just want Captain America 26.
Exactly. I think we have another week. I think it's next week.
There should have been, like, 3 issues of Captain America since this happened.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, not 3. But anyway, this is a controversial miniseries or series of specials, however you want to classify this thing. Not a lot of people liked it or have liked it or have been enjoying the issues. I have been enjoying the issues. I really liked the first two
I think this is the best one. Mostly because of John Romita Jr.'s art and the fact that this one's all about Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And I know Josh loves Hawkeye.
You know I love me some Hawkeye.
It was good Hawkeye, too.
Yeah, Hawkeye, you kind of forgot about it. He's been dead for a while. He came back last week in New Avengers, and you're like, oh, yeah, Hawkeye's awesome. I forgot about Hawkeye. And this is just more good Hawkeye stuff. And as I wrote in my review, seeing Hawkeye last week reminded me that he's always been like one of Cap's best friends on the Avengers, you know. They started off when he first joined the team as butting heads and rivals, and Hawkeye didn't respect him. But eventually, you know, as the years went on, there was no bigger Cap booster than Hawkeye.
You know? Well, even when they were butting heads, like, you know, of course they still respected each other. You know what I mean? Like, there was a sort of like how I feel about you guys.
Exactly. I might not like you, but God damn it, I respect
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And you got the feeling that of all the Avengers on the team, the one guy that would always have Cap's back would be Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And so when I remembered that last week, I thought, you know, man, I really want to see what Hawkeye's whole reaction to this scenario is, and this is what you pretty much got in this issue. And I really liked it. I thought it was pretty genuine. He's approached by Tony Stark to become the new Captain America, and you know his first reaction is, no, that's stupid. That's all. You know, Cap is dead. Cap is Steve. No one else can be Cap. But then eventually, slowly, he starts coming around to the idea of doing it, and even tries it out for a brief amount of time, and it, you know, goes from there. And I thought that was great. I thought of anybody to try to make the pass the shield onto, Hawkeye would be the one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least official in an official capacity from Iron Man's perspective.
Well, he's also got that sort of still needs to prove himself, used to be a criminal kind of thing going
right.
on. Which gives it a little extra something.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the scene where they run into the young Avengers and Hawkeye sees that there's a new Hawkeye. And
yep.
Like, how do you react to that? You're dead and you come back and somebody's got your name and your weapon and your whole gimmick, and how does that, you know, how does that make you feel? Are you honored or are you kind of pissed?
I thought that was a good balance with what was happening with Hawkeye and him thinking about becoming Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it was great. It was a good contrast. So.
The duality and the scene where he confronts the two young Avengers was really great. And I thought just top to bottom, it was very genuine. And the art was just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also talked about in the review that Romita Jr. has always been somebody who, when he first started, I didn't really love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love his art. You know, this was way back in his younger days. But I don't know what happened in the last 10 years or so, but he got really, really good. Or my tastes changed. Either one of those two.
I think it's a combination of the two.
I think he really benefits from the new coloring.
I was just going to say, I don't think his art's gotten really, really good. I think that the production's gotten better and it's enhanced his art. Because I remember his art in the 80s. And I remember it being really rough, and I really think the printing was harsher on his art because his art has almost like a fine line, a fine touch to it. And if you go back and it's funny because I was looking at old issues of Uncanny and stuff like that back when he was on it, and like the bad paper and like the blotty blacks and stuff like that just really work against him.
He did like Daredevil for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he did Daredevil. He did
every,
X-Men. He's done everything in Marvel. I mean, he's done everything pretty much.
He's Mr. Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, he was born into it, really.
Sure.
No, but yeah, I know exactly what you're saying about that, because it's true. Like every time I see him on a book now it's something I really look forward to.
Yep.
And I don't think about it. Like if you were to say who are some of your favorite artists, you know, he never springs to mind. But then when I see his name on the cover, I'm like, oh, that's going to be good because he's a really, really good storyteller too.
Yeah,
it's strong.
There's something about the way he draws superheroes that it seems right. Like the shot of Captain America / Hawkeye in the alley, the big one-page shot. He just looks like a superhero. You know, he looks big and iconic and larger than life without being like overly muscled and humongous. And I think he really is just he's mastered this whole genre, and that elevated this issue also.
So, because I didn't read it,
mm-hmm.
And I may have if I knew it was Hawkeye. I think I would have liked that, but. I mean, I assume he doesn't stay Captain America because he was in New Avengers.
No, this takes place literally right before that.
Yeah, he sticks it to Tony.
he tries it out. He puts the suit on. He gets the shield. He goes out, runs into the Young Avengers, sees there's a new Hawkeye, has a whole mixed reaction to that, talks to them about Cap, and then he basically says, screw off, Tony, gives him the shield back.
Now,
what stage of
well, that's my point. Is the whole concept? Well, that was the point I had about it. Is the whole concept of this was J. Michael Straczynski's concept of the five stages of grief that Jeff Loeb loved and ran with. And maybe it's because I'm almost too inside, and I've heard Loeb talk about it on Word Balloon, and then read it about in articles and stuff like that. And I know that they're doing the five stages of grief, but like I didn't really like the first two issues in this miniseries so far. But I, like Connor, I really liked this one. I was really impressed by it. I was really impressed by the honesty and just like the emotions were really kind of easy to connect with until the last page, right, when Hawkeye's sticking it to Tony and he's yelling at him and he says, you know, you tried to strike a bargain, and bargain was bold and italic, and it was like, you know, you don't have to hit me in the face with it. It's like I understood that this was bargaining, that Tony was trying to bargain his way out of his guilt. But
this is,
like,
this is the first criticism I've ever heard for bolding.
Bold and italicking.
Yeah, I know, like
you love that too.
It's the whole thing. It's, I mean, the name, the title of the issue on the two page spread is called Bargaining. It's right. you didn't need to put it in the dialogue. Like, I'm not that dense.
Well, you know? Maybe he was just trying to highlight the way that he was saying it.
No.
It's how the line read is.
It felt forced. It felt obvious. That's all. But that was the only negative I had about it. That was the only negative.
Control B and Control I just wrecks a comic book for you.
No. It's not the Control B, Control I. It's the combination of using the word and the Control B and the Control I. So, but
I'd like to point out also that Klaus Janson, the legendary Klaus Janson, was the inker, and Maury Hollowell, our favorite colorist, did the color.
I want to meet Maury Hollowell. Just because.
He's awesome.
Name.
No, he's great.
Yeah.
It was this very dark issue. It's very shadowy, you know.
I was trying to put my finger on what it was with the art. Now when we were talking about, you know, how the modern kind of coloring and stuff like that played into it, this is really digital. I mean, like the lighting and a lot of the rain effects and stuff like that.
A lot of lighting effects in it, yeah.
Which it's almost as if Romita had done Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's Maury Hollowell. I mean, you know, I don't know who's doing that. But like, it looks like it's got a
great deal of colorists on that, I believe.
Right, yeah. But it's got this veneer of digital-ish to it, which I don't know, which normally I would say is bad, but it's not that bad here.
So. No, it works. It works well with the art.
Yeah.
So this was good. Yeah. The rest of the week was bad.
It was a rough one. It was a big week.
It was... I was thinking a lot about this as I was trying to pick the best book, and this was the only book that really stood out to me in any kind of emotional way, so it was quite clear to me what the pick was. But I was looking at the rest of the books. I literally laid them all out on the floor and sort of stood over them to consider it.
Lorded over your manor.
Lorded over my books. And there was a couple of, like, okay books. You know, like, they were good. You know, they didn't stand out. But there was a lot of just bad, bad books from titles that aren't usually bad. It was really just a disappointing week. I was really set. It was one of those weeks where you're just like, ugh.
Sorry.
Are you doing sound effects now?
Yeah, I got all bored in front of me.
He was just waiting for him to end the sentence. He'd be like, now, yes. Because that's where we need to go now. How are we going to make the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast better? I think we need more sound effects.
Need like
and
a horn.
Quack, quack.
One book that was good, though, was Checkmate 14, which was the third part of the Checkout crossover. Between Checkmate and Outsiders.
Yeah, last week I was unable to get Outsiders 47.
Me too.
And if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh, a stupid crossover, I have to buy some other books, and I was bitchy about it. I really liked them. I read the two right in a row. And I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, it was – I guess I shouldn't be surprised about it, but
Well, considering the talent on the writing side, it shouldn't be a shock.
Definitely.
Well, now, unlike you, Josh, I forgot that I wasn't able to get Outsiders last week, so I don't know what happened.
You must have been completely lost.
Not only are there 37 people on each page, and I don't know who any of them are, I don't know what happened.
Well,
you missed the whole planning stage. You went from intro to mission.
Yeah, exactly. And I still don't know who all the people – I don't know who's in Checkmate. I don't know who's an outsider. I don't know what their powers are. I don't know how they feel about each other. I don't know what happened with Nightwing and the one-eye chick.
That's Sasha.
That is the – and I want to get to that.
That's the best part.
Oh, it's so good. That was the part that I was really, like, excited about.
You know what? That was the one thing I thought, can I have a pick of the week based on one scene? I did it already once this year. Should I do it again? No, I shouldn't.
I would watch – I would read a whole book of them talking.
Yeah. Just having coffee.
Yeah, that is Batman's old girlfriend, Ron.
I know who she is.
You said you didn't know who she was.
Batman taught her how to fight. So, again, I don't know – Oh, no, that's in the Outsiders issue.
Yeah.
Basically, in the Outsiders issue, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Remember in the last Checkmate, it was Nightwing and he had her like in a headlock or whatever?
Okay.
He had her with
yes, the I remember that. Yeah.
He busts through Checkmate Manor and busts out everybody, and then the one girl, her ass is hanging out the whole time, which was kind of weird.
I don't need to know what happened. I mean, I'm going to go back and read it.
No, I'm telling you, there wasn't much that happened.
Okay.
Like, he busts everybody out, they end up in a room with all of the Outsiders there, and they go, "We were just kidding, we wanted you here for this mission." And that brings us to Checkmate.
Okay.
That pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
They explain the mission a little bit.
Right.
They're going to Oolong Island with a crazy mad scientist wearing 52 to retrieve some stuff.
I'm having some issues with the 1 year later and the now and the 52. I've been all thrown off.
Right.
Because I was like, Oolong Island, were we just there? But that wasn't. That was a year ago or how long ago that was.
For a year, it's been dormant.
Yeah, I think I was having that problem with Countdown when I realized it was in the present.
Right.
Anyway, but, it's just more fighting and again, more Nightwing and Sasha talking about Batman on the sly in between everything, and there's kind of a little chemistry between them, but that might be everything, Nightwing does.
Nightwing's got chemistry. He's like George Clooney. He's got chemistry with everybody.
He's throwing out pheromones that they just can't take.
It's true. This has been coming out weekly, though.
Yeah, which I think helps.
Yeah,
the confusion.
Totally.
Because otherwise, I definitely wouldn't know what was going on, but, because it was so close to... I think if this had been a year after 52, I'd be like, Oolong Island, what was that again? Which is the, but it was
right.
All.
But this has been fun, and I'm glad you're enjoying it and not feeling ripped off about it.
No, definitely not. I really have been enjoying it. Almost makes you want to buy The Outsiders. But I think it really just makes you want to read a good Nightwing book.
Yes, totally.
Which does
I wish Greg Rucka would write Nightwing. That'd be great.
Would you take Judd Winnick on Nightwing?
Yes.
Excellent.
I would.
Even after he brought back Jason Todd. You, my friend, are showing growth.
Forgiveness.
Well, only if it's not about Jason Todd. Let's move on.
Let's get local.
I don't want to get into that again. And I don't think anybody else does either. Ron, what do you got?
Well, from my stack, I mean, I spent over $50 this week, which was painful. But out of all the books, the one that really stood out was probably Local Number 9. And I know out of the three of us, I'm still the only one reading this book. But a couple things jump out about it. I mean, just to get the background, it's published by Oni, and it's Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly, and it's supposed to be a bunch of single one-shot stories that are told in the backdrop of a city, and it's supposed to be very localized in terms of what it, what the story is, and it's supposed to, almost like the city, the backdrop becomes almost like a character. And we're up to issue number 9, and normally I'd be bitching because this is supposed to be a monthly book, and it's been horrendously erratic with its publishing schedule, but a couple of things kind of, believe it or not, I'm willing to forgive that, and a couple of things actually make me blow that out of the water and not even think about it. Number one, I don't know, I got to pull back my last issue, but Oni must have upped the production on this issue, because the paper stock that this is printed on is, like, so thick, and the art just jumps off the page. It's been a long time since I've seen a single issue printed on such great quality paper. Which really, 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 really spoke to the story. I mean, it really made it easier to read. The pages were heavy, and like it was really kind of,
Is it black and white or is it color?
It's black and white.
But is it like a glossy black and white, or is it like heavy newsprint? Like
no, it's a glossy. I mean, it's glossy. I mean, it's a really nice paper.
Queen and Country doesn't get that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What book?
Yeah, Queen and Country doesn't come out, so that would explain it. They have all that extra money from not printing that.
But then on top of this, almost like get ready for this. I'm going to compare Local to Detective Comics. Almost like what Paul Dini has been doing with the Riddler in the background of Detective Comics.
The subtle story throughout the whole one shot thing.
Exactly. We're watching these stories of these cities through the eyes of this girl, who I don't even remember her name. It might be Carrie or something. I don't know what it is. What is it?
Alcoholic reporter?
No, not that. What is her name? I forget her name. You're basically not only seeing all these cities that she lives in, but you're seeing like her life. And this particular issue is about like the death of her mother, and it's just ridiculously good. I mean, I know I talk a lot about honesty and sincerity. Megan is her name. I'm sorry, Megan. The character's name is Megan. But it just like I read this and I was just like it ripped your heart out. I mean, it's amazing. It's a bunch of flashbacks as she's looking back on her life with her mother. And after she gets word that her mother died, and it's just and it goes to her. It's almost like an origin story. It goes to her origins of why she's always running away and why she's running from city to city.
So she's moving frequently.
Yes, yeah.
It's the same character through all the books, and then the local refers to the different places she's lived.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's any book I'm looking forward to more in trade, I don't know it. I mean, this is one I'm really, really looking forward to for the
club. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next Invincible, but that's probably not what you meant.
I mean a new book that I haven't read.
And not only that, but each single issue comes with like extras in the issue, so I can't even imagine what the trade's going to look like. I mean, like this maps and road trips, triptychs. But the back cover was done by Jamie McKelvey from Phonogram fame. But the local has just been an awesome, awesome ride, even though it's been ridiculously late. And Brian Wood actually writes in the back that they're never going to get back on a monthly schedule, so just deal with it. But this is one of the few cases where I actually agree with you guys, where screw the monthly schedule. The quality is so good, it's worth it.
Cool.
So, unlike Civil War, a whole universe is hinging on the events of this book, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You go ahead.
No, there was some other book that we were talking about that recently. Like, it comes out late, and it's we don't care. We'll take. Maybe I read it. Forget it. I have nothing to fit.
Well, that's enough with the good. Let's talk about everything else that sucked.
All right.
Ultimate X-Men number 82.
Bring back Ben Oliver.
Oh God!
Wow!
Holy shit! Bring back Ben Oliver.
The art was bad.
Nothing against Pascal Alex or whatever his name is. Pascal Alix. And at moments I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But then there were pages where I was like, ooh.
It didn't strike me for a little while because I knew that the last few of them, like, the art has been great. So, like, I just wasn't really thinking about it. And I think I was, like, a third or halfway through. And I was like, this isn't very good.
No.
Like, it all of a sudden sort of hit me. And there was a couple of – there was one – something where they tried to do a foreshortening thing with somebody's arm. I think it was Jean Grey.
Yeah, when the hand.
She just looked like she had a giant arm instead.
Like that Seinfeld episode with the man hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this was beyond. This is some of the worst art I've seen in a while.
Bring back Ben Oliver.
Or Yannick Paquette, even.
Yeah.
Ben Oliver. Yannick. I want to know what Ben – I want to pay Ben Oliver to do it again.
Maybe
pay him.
Maybe he can't do a monthly book.
I'm sick of hearing that.
Maybe he's drawn local.
Can't draw that fast.
Monthly books. Damn it. Don't put them out late.
Wow, you just turned around less than 30 seconds.
It's okay when it's the edgy indie and a whole universe isn't dependent on it.
All right.
On my superhero books, if it's monthly, go monthly.
That was Uncanny X-Men. It was a wrap-up, right?
Conversely, Uncanny X-Men number 486 was the last issue of the first 12-issue arc. And
Hunter Baker's run.
It wasn't awful. I know a lot of people had some negative things to say about it. I didn't think it was awful, but it kind of wrapped up a little too neatly for me. I almost feel like this issue 12 snuck up on him,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of Shakespeareanly ended.
So he did a 12-issue arc?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he? He's still on the book.
Yeah, he's still on the book. Yeah, okay. But this first story was 12 issues.
Are they back? Still in space? Are they coming back?
Well, what happened? And here, here's our big spoiler kind of thing. Here are the big bullet points. They killed Corsair, which is Cyclops and Havok's father, dead. Which actually made me gasp. And the person I was on the train with when I was writing it was like, "What happened?" I was like, "They killed Corsair." And she goes, "No." And I was like, "They did." She's like, "Oh, he'll be back." And I was just like, "But he's buried. They show him burying him."
So, were with somebody who knew what that meant.
I know.
That's more impressive.
So they killed Corsair. Havok and Polaris and Marvel Girl stayed with the Starjammers in space. And and Professor Xavier has all his powers back and he can walk.
And he can walk?
Yep. Again.
Again. Yep.
Can't keep that guy in a chair.
So status quo reset in Uncanny, in the X-Men world.
Now, Professor Xavier. Is that the same artist on it all the way through?
Yeah. Well, no.
Billy Tan?
Billy Tan, but there was a couple of fill-ins that were like kind of B-plots of the main story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Billy Tan did the main thread, though. He did like 10
issues
or so.
Thinking about trying out the next issue again.
Yeah, go for it.
Wondering how much of it my dislike was the space aspect and how much
I'm going to warn you though, the next issue is a 5-arc with the return of Storm.
Well, I don't. All right.
Is she bringing her husband with her?
I hope not.
Black Panther's always in the bathroom when I need to go.
So
Marvel's you don't even work here.
That took me a second to figure out what the hell you were talking about.
I know. But
that would be my story. How everyone's annoyed about Black Panther, who's not even really an X-Man, but he's
just hanging
out.
What's great is that you could start it at Fantastic Four because he's currently squatting at Fantastic Four.
You know, it's like when you're in college and you live like your roommates and the girlfriend was always over.
Yeah.
Always like using the stuff in the kitchen. You're just like, oh my god, you don't even live here.
Is he gonna start paying rent? You know he's like a king, right? He doesn't need to live here. It's
She has to check and see if she can go on missions. I don't know. I gotta check with Chala. Hold on.
No, well, do you want to? No, but do you want to? No, I'll go if you want to. I'll go. No, I'll stay. I'll stay. Okay, fine.
You say goodbye first.
Who's been drinking my milk? I don't know. And he's got like a white mustache and
his
black mask.
His mask is all up over his mouth.
He just goes, I don't know. And he's got boxers on.
And he goes in and he grabs the remote from Iceman and changes the channel. Ooh, World Poker Tournament.
I want to read this book.
There's your show. There's your show
right there. You know what people want to hear is us laugh for 4 minutes.
Wow, we broke down before halfway through the show.
I haven't done this in a while.
Oh, God.
Okay.
That's a new record. Oh, Mighty Avengers number 3. Josh, you take us away with that one.
I want to do a whole mini-series of Marvel about rude house guests.
House of ideas.
Every time Sentry comes over, this huge thing builds up over the house. Okay. I think with Mighty Avengers number 3, for me, the wheels came off the horse.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, it was
I really
terrible.
Didn't enjoy this.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
No, it was terrible.
It just felt like kind of disjointed. Like there wasn't really a story, and like the first part of it was about how Warbird or whatever, Miss Marvel or whatever, she still doesn't know what to do. And I feel like they've been standing there looking at this girl for 3 issues now.
Yeah, I feel like this is the same issue over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that's not beyond Bendis' normal slow pacing. This is like Glacier.
But what about when after the helicarrier thing happened, everyone's like, well, who's in charge? And that whole scene. I thought
that
was great.
The helicarrier's gone down a lot lately.
The helicarrier's the great MacGuffin of Marvel. It's
you're
like
not reading Ant-Man, but it went down in Ant-Man.
Right, yeah, no. Didn't it go down in Rhode Island in some book also?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it going down. Right. I thought that the scene with Hank Pym and Tigra in the middle was out of nowhere.
I thought that was funny, though.
I thought that was funny and good, but my problem is Hank Pym's over in the Initiative being Yellowjacket winning medals.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this, they make him, like, in a suit, kind of nerdy, kind of, you know, like, kind of scientist-y again.
Yeah, this doesn't even feel like Hank Pym. I'm like, what's... Yeah.
But the scene took place at the Initiative. I mean, let's...
Oh, yeah, it did.
Oh, right, true.
Hank Pym at Stanford Connecticut.
Yeah, I see.
And then, you know, Tigra's got her legs all spread out.
Doesn't the little teeth on her belt and her bikini bottom dig in?
Maybe the fur stops that. Don't forget, she's furry.
Oh, right. That's going to be weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, that really like struck me. I was like, wow, that's gratuitous.
God.
And, you know, like when it happens
Tiger
in Powers.
Over, she brings her kitty litter.
And then finally, the word balloons in the thought balloons in the beginning were way too much and out of place. I thought
he's it's a good idea he's got. Uh-huh. He needs to do it about half as much as he's doing it.
Oh, I'm liking it.
He's doing it in almost every panel. It seems like at this point.
But it was just on the first page, the first spread, and then after that it stopped.
No, he kept doing it throughout.
He kept doing it throughout the whole issue.
There was a lot of them at the beginning. And
yeah, no, but the thing is that people have a lot of thoughts while they're saying stuff. I think it was okay.
Yeah, but the thing is,
you're an apologist.
Your inner monologue isn't constantly making up witty retorts for what you just said or to think the opposite of what you said out loud.
You know what I mean? Like, my dialogue isn't witty either.
Mine is.
Okay.
Well,
he's overdoing it. He's overdoing it.
It's a fucking superhero comic book. I mean, like, everything's a little overdone. A helicarrier fell on Long Island Expressway.
It's not overdone in that it's too clever. It's overdone in that he's doing it too much. He needs to... It's losing its effectiveness because the joke is happening in every panel.
But the thing is, I don't think it's a joke. I think it's a storytelling method. I think it's a way of. I mean, it's providing what's going on inside their head as well as what they're saying.
All that it's telling me is that every single one of these characters doubt themselves,
which I think is really interesting.
Eh.
Well, not but that's an assumption too. I mean, like, for example, like in the greatest scene in the book when Black Widow takes over S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, when she's going through, when she's barking out all the orders, you know, she's like, all right, need some heroes, and she's, and then she yells to, you know, alert the initiative. She's like, all right, need a brain, find Reed Richards. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, it's not all self doubt. I mean, admittedly, I see what
no,
you're saying.
No, that one's not. Yeah. That's true. And I like that scene actually. I thought that was fun.
And when after that scene when Ms. Marvel flew off and she thinks to herself, "Don't be a baby, you're still in charge." You know, I mean, she's giving herself that self reassurance. I mean, like, it was funny because, like, there's a character, Ms. Marvel, actually, her thought balloons remind me exactly of someone I work with. Who I talk to a lot and know, like, her, you know, like, the problem she has at work and stuff like that. And it's like the kind of inner dialogue is stuff I hear her say to me all the time. It's like, you know, no, I know I'm, you know, like, it's, I can do this job and I know I should be here and, you know, like, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my God, you know, like, you just want to hit her and go, you know, just focus. It's okay. And I find myself wanting to do this.
You want to hit her?
Well, not literally.
Just anyway. Listen to the show.
I liked it anyway. So
it was not good.
You know what I didn't like though?
What?
Was Ultimates number 13.
I didn't even buy it. I took a stand. I didn't buy it. I bought every single Ultimates book except for this one.
How long do you think that's going to last?
You know what you missed out on?
I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. Also, I didn't buy Batman and Robin. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
Well, I'm proud of... Did you buy it, Ron?
No, fuck no.
I'm proud of both of you.
Yeah, fuck it.
Nice.
And I really like Batman and Robin. I can't support that book anymore. I can't support Ultimates.
Yeah, fuck it. But you know what you missed in the Ultimates, though? You missed the 8-page gatefold, centerfold, one-panel drawing.
That's what took all the time.
Literally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fucking pages folding out from the middle of this, like a fucking huge, long poster. And it's, admittedly, it looks nice, but it's 8 pages. It's ridiculous. Completely unnecessary.
You don't like fold out.
No, I don't, because they fuck up the book. The staple gets all crazy. It's too thick. It's like, oh my God. And how are you going to reprint that in the trade?
Good point.
8 pages. I don't even know what happened in the last issue because it came out last year.
Exactly. That's the reason why I couldn't buy it.
Well, also, I stopped reading. I think I bought maybe 5 of the first one, and I started getting annoyed with it not coming out. And then recently I'd read the whole first arc in trade. I really enjoyed it in trade. I thought it worked really well. So, like, I didn't even bother buying the second issues in trade. But that's a really good point.
It's just bullshit. This book should have been out monthly. It should have, you know, like, bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit.
Was it any good?
Bullshit. Move on.
Was it any good?
No, I don't know what happened. It was a lot of just like, ooh, okay, Hitch can draw battles and explosions. And Thor kicked ass, admittedly. And it
How
kind
does
of, you know.
Hitch support himself doing a book a year?
I have no idea. 8 pages!
He must have got a good deal off that.
What's the page rate? Does he get paid for one page? There was actually literally one page where I thought that perhaps, like, I think a page was missing. Like, there's a full page spread of, like, Washington, D.C. There's a full page of, like, and it's like a energy wave going across it, but it's only the left side of the book. I thought the right side page was missing. It could very well be, because I don't know what the fuck's going on in this book.
Exactly. I was... You know, it's tough. It's tough when you buy 12 out of 13 issues and the 13th one comes out and you just say, forget it. But
overhyped and self-indulgent. That's what this book was. Although the Rainbow Road from Asgard was here, so. That was good. I liked that moment. That was pretty cool.
I like Thor in that book.
Yeah, except it took fucking 6 years to get him.
Right, but eventually, at some point, I'm just going to pick up the trades and read those right through and I'll enjoy them just fine.
Yeah, bollocks to the trades.
Ex Machina number 28, which I'm sad to say, maybe this would have been better to read as a trade.
Oh, bollocks to the trade!
Jog off!
It's such a fucking apologist thing to be like, oh, it would be better in the trade or whatever. It's not at all.
No. That's not at all true.
Here's why, and I don't think that it has to do with the books being late or anything like that. I personally am having a hard time remembering everything. I am watching so much shit and reading so many things and doing so, like, if the book came out weekly, I don't know if I'd remember it.
Yeah.
I just think that this is a book, very specifically, I think I would really enjoy a lot more reading it in a big chunk. It's just the same way, like, I have every opportunity. I could switch over to reading Invincible in the monthly issues, you know, because they're pretty close on the heels of the trades. But I just don't want to. I just enjoy reading it in that format too much. And I'm starting to think that another book like that is Fables. I think I was enjoying reading Fables more in trade form than I was in single issues.
Yeah, certain stories work better in big chunks where you can follow the intricacies and the little plot details and everything that's when it's all tied together in one long story, it's easier to follow in a big chunk like this. It's much harder to enjoy monthly. I like I like this book, but it's like every month it's like, okay, good again, but I think I'd have more impact if I read the whole thing at once.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that this book had impact earlier on in the series, and like I thought this issue was good. I mean, I don't think it was knock my socks off. I thought it just was continuing the story and was like another chapter in this good this good comic book. The thing is that it, like, I don't know. I don't mind the fact that it's taking a long way to go because it's going in issues. And like, it had that energy early on in the series, and I don't really know what made it lose that kind of energy.
I think maybe the shock value type thing. So,
I don't know. Cause I'm used to the format. I'm used to the characters. I'm used to the scenario.
Right.
And similar to Mighty Avengers, I feel like it's kind of the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I like it. I like the characters. I like it. It's all really well written, and there's some great, you know, if you like politics and you like that sort of
this
thing.
It's actually just super. It's the superhero's lost his powers, and he's going up against a mysterious bad guy.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. It's fine.
Just, I just feel like I enjoy it more in a bigger chunk.
Yeah, I do too. Maybe I'll let the issues build up and then read them all at once.
You could do that. The issue, and you get it sooner than the trades. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know, but bollocks to the trade. I mean, like, the thing is that if you're right – I mean, if you're – no, but –
You're using
that
like a word balloon.
Well, I know, yeah, but the thought balloon, yeah. I'm thinking it as well. But no, I mean, my whole argument with that is that – I mean, I know – and the thing is I'm a fucking hypocrite because I'm reading – you know, I just finished reading the new Why the Last Man trade, and I read Invincible and trade and stuff like that. That's only because I haven't caught up to the issues.
Well, you have a fundamental problem with having half of one thing and half of the other.
Right, yeah, like it's a completist kind of thing and all that kind of deal. But my whole thing is that, like, okay, so if you want to do something in the trades, then do it in that format and release it that way. You know, the companies want to do
that. I don't think I think lately, just again, because, like, there's so much media and so many things coming in, and, like, listening to podcasts and things like that, it doesn't help because it's just more stuff.
Yeah.
And lately, like, I made a big order of trades, and I read a bunch of things in 6-issue chunks, and I was just like, it's so enjoyable to read them like that. And when I was reading through The Last Walking Dead, I was just thinking, it's just so much fun to read it like this.
Right. No, I can see that. And although I do have to make it a confession that last issue of New Avengers, I got about halfway through, and I had this weird sense of deja vu, and I realized I forgot that I had read the preview pages Marvel sent us a couple weeks ago. And I was like, where have I read this before? And like, I was trying to think of where I could have seen it. I'm like, was there a preview in Wizard? Did I read it online? Like, how do I? I'm like, oh my God, I knew Peter was going to say that. Like, for a moment, I thought I was like, I'm predicting it. But
I believe I'm clairvoyant.
I'm psychic.
So, I don't know.
But, I'm going to start a school in Westchester.
Whatever. So, I mean, nobody's right. I mean, it's all preference, so it's okay. So
one of the things that's taking up all my attention is Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because in addition to reading comic books and watching TV shows and listening to podcasts, I get stuff all the time, and I tend to be watching a lot of the TV shows and movies. And why am I telling you this, you might wonder? Well, that's because one of our sponsors is Netflix, and if you were looking about to start an account, maybe a 2-week free trial, you can go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy, where they have 75,000 titles and up, and there's no late fees, and they ship them to you and back, and that's free, and we all really like it a lot, and you should too.
And if you join Netflix, and you could befriend us, and you could see what we like, and we can compare what you like to what we like, and it'll be a fun friend movie
Connor
kind of thing.
And I have gone down 1%.
Yeah, so
you're watching that far too closely.
We were 98, now we're 97.
One of you rated one movie differently.
He's got a couple extra stars on Dances with Wolves.
Anyway, so www.netflix.com/ifanboy.
Yeah,
so, very nice.
Mail time.
All right, mail call.
Mailbag.
Our first email comes from Casey from Takasaki, Japan, which is awesome. How much of comic fandom do you –
Way to
sorry,
be in the place, dude.
I haven't done that in a while. It's very good to hear from our friends in Japan. How much comic fandom do you think is directly related to the social aspect of the medium? If you're into comics, you're usually quote-unquote into comics. And having like-minded friends around to talk with can really make or break your interest in the medium. Did you guys have any specific friends you geeked out with when you first started reading? Would you be a fanboy today without them? That's a great question.
Yes.
It is.
That's a great aspect of it. of the whole thing.
Should we talk about us first or the phenomena?
Phenomena.
Okay.
Phenomena.
I really think that one of the ways to expand comics beyond the niche audience is to be able to have people who are kind of into some comics. Right now, it feels like there's people who are into comics and totally or not, but there's not a lot of people who just read some comics every now and again. It's either all in or not, and I think that one of the things that comics can do is to find a way to get more of those people who, you know, sometimes listener, you know, sometimes readers.
No. Yeah, I mean, I know there are some like that, but they're definitely the majority. It seems to be for a lot of people an all encompassing hobby.
Well, it's like a lifestyle, dare I say, us.
Well, you know, but if your entire market is people who are just diehards, you're going to be great because you'll have those forever, but you'll never expand.
But it's going to diminish because we're going to die.
What?
Well, no, it's just like out of a whole crowd of people, you know, there's only a certain percentage of them that are going to go whole hog into something. But if you can start to, you know, market to just some of the people who I read comics sometimes when they come out. I pick up a couple of titles here and there. It's not everything I do. I think
any medium needs casual people to really blow up.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, like any medium. Like I don't see every movie. I see the kind of movies I like. I don't read every comic book. I read the comics I like. I don't watch every TV. You know, like it's people have got to recognize it as another entertainment option.
But the thing is, right now they're only available in specialty shops filled with people who are into that specialty. But it also
helps to being as one of those people to do your part and to help and to kind of talk it up. I mean, like, for example, you know, my brother-in-law doesn't read comics, but he loves heroes. And I was like, oh, you know, you should really check out Rising Stars. So I'm giving him Rising Stars to read.
Oh, yeah. That's
You should give it to him 12 months apart.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to. I'm like, you'll get the next issue in 3 years.
He just goes, that was awesome. Can I have the next part? And you just look at him and kind of shake your head. You're going to do it like I did it.
You have to go to 3 conventions and ask that question first.
After this is over, I want you to hate the guy who wrote it. Well, I don't even know who he is. No. You should hate him.
Who did you guys talk comics with and you started reading?
You guys.
Oh, I've always had friends to geek out with comics. I've never been alone in my comics. So,
who was the first one?
The first one was this kid Eric. I mean, the kid Eric who gave me Excalibur, my origin story.
Uh-huh.
Number 14.
Yeah, home ec class in sixth grade. We used to sit there and talk about X-Men.
Would you be a fanboy without him?
No, because he's the one who got me into it. And then I wavered, and then I was kind of by myself through middle school, and then I stopped buying books, and then I picked them back up again towards the end of high school, and one of my other friends, who was a little punk rock skateboarder kid, was also really into comics, so we used to go during lunch to the comic book store. Terry, he was cool. And then you guys in college.
It's funny because I first read them probably age 11 to 13, 14, and I didn't have anybody to read them with, and I stopped doing it. I stopped reading.
Interesting.
And then, I was reading a lot of comics, and I remember I would go hang out at the comic book store and talk to some of those people there. But I didn't have any close friends who were into it. Then again, I didn't have any friends in high school, so it's hard to say. No. But then in college, it was having friends around to talk to comics, and you know, every time that I got less interested in them, and since then. You know, the stuff that keeps me buying them is so that, you know, because of you guys and, you know, a couple of other friends and then eventually iFanboy, you know. So I think that's a big component of it. I think it certainly increases your enjoyment of reading comics, and also it shows why podcasts have become really big for comics readers.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the reason why we started the website was to talk about them.
Yeah. What about you, Connor?
Way back in kindergarten, I had my best friend Gavin, and I remember reading G.I. Joe comics with him. And like G.I. Joe, I have a very vivid memory of sitting in the cafeteria with G.I. Joe 26, the Snake Eyes origin, and being very excited.
Oh, great issue.
And then he stayed around, and we met up with Patrick, who is now Patrick the intern.
He was not an intern at that time.
He showed up in fourth grade, and then he's been there since fourth grade, and
still in fourth grade.
He's hoping to get through the fifth this year. We've got our fingers crossed. And then he's been here ever since. And then in high school, there was some guys like I started hanging out with who they all drew really well. Like we all read comics, and a bunch of them could draw comics really well.
Do they still draw? And what are their numbers?
I haven't seen them since high school. And then in college, I had nobody because I didn't know anyone, and I had to make them. You know, I had to force comics.
And he indirectly built me.
Yeah, I did. I forced a couple guys in my dorm freshman year who had read them when they were kids. I hadn't read them in a while. I gave them Morrison's JLA books. And they were like, holy shit, these are awesome. And then a few years later, they gave books to Josh. And then
now I'm sort of like your own freakish Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And had I not just driven right by you, Connor, maybe we could have been friends a little earlier.
I know that guy's going to the store. I'm not letting him in my car.
I didn't pull over to pick Connor up once when I was driving home from the comic book store. I'm sorry. You were waiting for the bus. I thought you were
good.
Was
it raining? Was there a big puddle?
It was Ithaca, so there was snow.
Yeah, anyway.
Todd, that was a great question, Casey. Todd from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
I love this question. I love it.
There is a problem that has been bothering me for a while, and I hope that you can help shed some light on it. I think it has big implications for the future of the medium of comics. In a nutshell, why doesn't Reed Richards give Bruce Banner some unstable molecule pants? It would seem like the decent thing to do. Is Reed Richards just a dick, or does he not approve of the Hulk extreme behavior? Either way, let's not forget that Banner is a victim here, and it would be nice if he didn't have to explode through another pair of purple Dockers every time he stubs his toe or gets cut off in traffic. I know there are probably only so many bolts of unstable molecule fabric available, and all Banner needs is one pair of fucking pants. Forgive me if this topic is already discussed.
Like anybody else brought that up.
This is possibly one of the best worded emails we've ever gotten.
P.S. It would be a nice gesture to throw in a shirt as well.
He's fantastic point. Fantastic point.
Well, isn't that like isn't that like sort of okaying Banner's behavior, and therefore that's
it's
why
it's kind of enabling.
It? Yeah, it's an enabling behavior.
Yeah.
How do those pants stay on?
And why are they really like? Why do they fall? Why don't they fall off when he changes back to puny Banner?
And why do they have such a? Why do they have such a really strong crotch? Because that part never rips.
And why purple? Like, seriously,
maybe
it's
they
2007.
Didn't start out purple, but like the gamma radiation.
Maybe no, but he kept on. You know, Banner in the 70s. Go, do you have purple pants?
I'll take them all.
I'll take them all. I need the stretchy kind. That's a great question. Oh,
the indestructible crotch.
Perhaps Dr. Bruce Banner could shop at geekarmor.com and get a good shirt to wear instead of losing his shirt. geekarmor.com, our other sponsor, sells great t-shirts that are aimed towards the geek folks. They've got sci-fi and movie and TV t-shirts and great stuff that you'd love to check out. So go to geekarmor.com. That's geekarmor.com and check them out today.
We don't know if they have unstable molecule shirts.
They might. They might not. And if you have any questions about the wardrobes of superheroes, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. So, excellent. So on to our voicemail.
Quickly. Nate.
Hey, this is Nate from Canton, Ohio calling. I just wanted to call something that's been on my mind the last couple of days. I've been reading a lot of negative feedback about Countdown, the first issue. And I just think that's kind of funny because everyone's dogging it and talking about how great 52 was, which it was. But, I mean, looking back, nobody really liked 52 until, like, week 13 or 14. And I just don't think that people are giving Countdown a chance. I mean, I'm looking forward to the series, and I wasn't too overwhelmed by the first issue. But I'm also thinking, you know, this is a 52-part story, and this is only the first issue. So I kind of wonder what you guys thought. I'm sure you're going to talk about it on the podcast. But maybe you guys could talk about, you know, giving it a chance. All right, thanks. Bye.
He does make a good point. I mean, 52 started off slowly. It picked up speed, but eventually, you know, if anyone recalls, the first couple of months were rough.
But wait a minute. My God, it's week two.
I know.
The credits like, haven't
even rolled
yet.
Are we jumping the gun here? You know, like, it just started.
No, people are, I think, because it's hard when you come off a successful series that just ended and, you know, and you start off again slowly. People are like, whoa!
Yeah, I know we didn't talk about it on this week's show, but I'm on board with Countdown for the whole year, so, you know.
There was only one glaring problem I had with this issue, but other than that, I really enjoyed it.
What was the glaring problem?
Well, if the opening narration is all Jimmy Olsen, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about Dick Grayson as being Robin and Jason Todd. Yeah. First Robin, I mean, if he knows all this stuff, then he knows all the secrets.
True. Yeah, he probably knows who Daredevil is too.
Yeah. So
Notice that, like, apparently Connor pointed this out to me today. That things are happening in 52 that are going to happen in the other books at the same time. So because like the
yeah,
because
it's real time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's might not last. Like that's a recipe for disaster.
let's work Wonder Woman into this.
Well, it's not even Countdown. It's the other books.
Yeah, it's Flash. Yeah, if anything falls behind, Flash, JLA, JSA.
It's a very good point. We'll see what happens with that.
Anyway.
Anyway, all right, so our next voicemail, honestly, something I never even thought about.
Hi, this is Kermit G, calling from Silver Spring, Maryland, and I have a question and one statement. The statement is, one, Hawkeye will not be Hawkeye no more because there's a new Hawkeye on Young Avengers. It's the lady. And my question is this. How is Captain America able to give orders in World War II when technically he was still a private? Because Captain America is just a title, not his real rank. All right, thank you, and have a great day. Love the show.
So he's right about Hawkeye. Hawkeye and the Young Avengers is the new Hawkeye. That we were talking about that earlier.
Kill that character off. Who cares?
Anyway, I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Why?
Does
Hawkeye
rank,
fans are going to come after you?
Does rank dictate title? Does title dictate rank?
He may have blown the whole lid off this thing.
He might have. We're just freaking out over a lowly private?
He commanded a lot of respect. He wasn't really giving orders. He was making suggestions, and they, based on his charisma, they were like, I think I want to do what that guy says. And you know what? They were right.
Perhaps you should storm that ridge.
Private America, tuck in your shirt. Oh, God.
Uniform is not to code.
You know what? I would love the fact, you know, he's a New Yorker, Steve Rogers. He was one of those New York-like... In the war movies, there's always the guy from Brooklyn.
The paper boy?
Ed Burns?
There's always the Ed Burns character in the platoon. It would be great if he had, like, a thick New York accent.
Yeah.
Listen, Sarge, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Cartoony.
What? I know. Yeah, he's a cartoon gangster?
Yeah.
Well, that's how they sound in the World War II movies.
Yeah. Like Garnier from
I love 40s accents, by the way. If you go back to the old movies and stuff like that, I love
those. Do you guys want to go watch Band of Brothers? Because I will sit through all 10 hours of it right now.
What do you think I'm doing this weekend?
Drop of a hat.
Oh, wait, Memorial Day weekend. Next weekend. Do it then.
I'll do it then. All right,
so our next voicemail's got a dissenting opinion.
Hey, guys. This is Arlen from Whidbey Island, and I just wanted to say Nova 2. Come on. That was the worst comic of that week. I mean, yeah, it's cool that, you know, he saw his family and, you know, absolutely devastated one of his previous villains, but those are kind of give-me's for when a hero gets superpowered and comes back to Earth. Like, neither of those really take any creative talent. Meanwhile, his parents totally alienate him in, like, 2 pages, which was way unexpected. The Thunderbolts show up for no reason at all at the end. He goes through a wormhole because he's stubborn, or a black hole, excuse me, and then ends up on Earth accidentally, like, out of the millions of places in the galaxy. Like, it just was really shoddily written. And, you know, I think anybody who's a fan of comics, if they had brought Nova back to Earth, would have made him fight, an old villain, and would have made him obviously see Stark and Stark try to, like, tell him to, you know, rejoin the initiative or whatever. So, I don't know. It was maybe the most unoriginal thing I read this week. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ouch, Ron. Ouch.
Well, he makes some very good points. I'll give him that. I'll give him that. He makes great points. I can't argue with you, Arlen. I still liked it.
I think you can argue with – do you have to assume that he has nice parents?
Right.
I know a lot of people who haven't seen their parents in a long time, and in about 8 minutes, they're about done with them.
And as I said in last week's show, if you go back and read the 70s stories, his parents were exactly the same. They were mean to him back then too. It was when he wasn't coming back to Earth.
Didn't the Overmind send him to Earth? Wasn't that the point?
No. He got sucked into a black hole and ended up on Earth by accident. He's completely right.
That is
one.
Silly.
Yeah. Yeah, but this thing is that it's comics.
But then
it's
the Thunderbolts didn't show up for no reason. The Thunderbolts...
Well, we'll find out next issue.
Well, right, but he got into a fight in public, so that would have triggered the alarm somewhere. Maybe Tony Stark didn't get the memo to stop it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I respect your opinion. Actually, it's not for everybody, but despite all that, I still enjoyed it. So.
Why don't you write it?
Yeah, maybe I will. All right, so here's one from Josh from Maine.
Well, what?
What?
Wait a minute.
Hi, guys. This is Josh calling from Portland, Maine. And during Civil War, I get kind of interested in the Young Avengers and Runaways. The book itself wasn't particularly great, but I get interested in both the teams. And I was wondering if you would recommend one book over the other, or if you guys prefer one team over the other universally, or if you have different opinions about that. So I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks.
He doesn't sound like any of those people who I make that voice for.
No, he didn't.
No, he doesn't.
You've been lying all these years to us.
He's from the Portland in Oregon.
He said he's from Portland, Maine.
Oh, okay.
He's not a fisherman.
So he read the worst book out of the Civil War titles, which is saying
that's
something.
That's saying a lot.
but he liked the characters, which yeah. is actually... Is...
Amazing. It's an amazing miracle because they were awfully written in that miniseries.
I know. It's amazing. So the original... they're actually their own titles should be that much better for him, so he's in for a great treat.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I would say Runaways.
I disagree. I would say Young Avengers.
I have only read Runaways, so I can only recommend it.
Well, I would recommend the first trade of Runaways, and then the 12 issue, the two mini trades that make up the 12 issues that only exist of Young Avengers. And it's a stick in my craw for me to recommend Young Avengers because of Heinberg.
Say it.
Damn you, Heinberg! But honestly, when that book started, those first four or five issues were phenomenal.
I like the first one. I didn't like it enough to keep reading. But now that I've heard about it, I might go pick up those two.
So good. Art is beautiful.
That's
one
of those books I keep meaning to buy but never do.
I have the issues if you want me to pull them. If you hold them gently.
I would love to read them.
With white gloves?
Yes.
Speaking of Heinberg, I read that he's doing a... the rumor is he's doing a Batgirl miniseries or... Barbara Gordon miniseries. Yeah, I just shook my fist at the computer screen.
Oh, no, wait, but who's doing the art?
Somebody good. I don't know.
Dodson.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Dodson.
Boy,
we got Dodson.
That's going to come out.
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman all over again.
It's
fucking bollocks. So, anyway, so check
him
out.
Were you in Manchester this week? What?
I was. Josh, if you like, not you, Josh, other Josh, voicemail Josh, if you like them, get them both. Why not? Splurge.
But if you had to pick one, I'd say Runaways.
Yeah. But if you had the drop, one, which one would you drop? That's what Robert would like to know.
Hi guys, this is Robert from San Jose. After this week's comics, looking at the last X-Men and Ultimates, and just looking at Batman All-Stars, which I didn't buy but read in the store. When do you stop buying comics? When do you give up on a title? And should DC pull the plug on All-Star Batman? Is that not crap or what? See you later. Bye.
I find when you find yourself, you know, sort of eyeing other comics and the reading experience has become sort of perfunctory.
He's not talking about comics.
Oh, comics, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's bad and you're bored with it, there's absolutely no reason to continue to buy it.
Conversely, my answer is never.
That was such a Dwight Schrute answer.
You buy one book, you basically make a contract to buy it for as long as it's published.
That's awful.
No, I'm kidding. I fucking dropped All-Star Batman and Robin and All-Star Superman like fucking dirty underwear.
Superman was awesome.
I'm probably the most likely to drop a title. It's funny because I think it's when I'm not really enjoying it anymore. And I think that, like, some of them, I was going to pick up Ultimate X-Men this week, and I was like, it's not bad, but I just don't really care.
Without Ben Oliver, it sucks.
Well, no, that didn't help.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to buy it. I want to support Kirkman, but, like, it's kind of not, like, it's not bad, I just don't care.
Right. I guess when you're apathetic to it, like when I find myself, like when things are at the bottom of my stack and I don't actually read them until the week after they come out, I'm like, whatever, I don't care. That's when I'll drop them.
Also, if you're reading it, you're not happy reading it. You know?
Yeah. Make you happy. You're spending money on them.
Moon Knight, when I, you know, the first two issues of Moon Knight made me angry. I was like, screw this.
It really did, yeah.
I'm not paying $3 to be angry.
Well, we had to go get books somewhere else, and you bought, I think, one issue. And you were like, geez, when you buy one, you really realize how much it is.
Yeah.
$3 for that one issue. You're talking 6-8 minutes, almost, you know?
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
When you buy a big stack, you can just sort of put off the whole total. But when you're buying the one, you're like, ugh, it is $3 each. I'm paying $3 for this. The privilege of being angry.
I'm paying $3 to get mad at my friends and family.
So just drop it, Robert. If you don't like it, get rid of it.
Yeah, and they should stop publishing All-Star Batman and Robin because it's a failure.
People are buying it.
Yeah, they shouldn't. They shouldn't.
I know.
Not because it was bad. I thought it was really good.
What? No, Batman was good?
Yeah.
You got All-Star Batman?
No, I thought it was good. They shouldn't stop publishing it because it was bad. I thought it because of the schedule. I'm not buying it on principle. Not because of the content.
Oh, right. No, that's what I'm talking on principle. Yeah, I agree. I thought the art was great.
No, but Robert said they should drop because it sucked.
I'm saying it sucks because it's late. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you want to leave us a voicemail, which many, 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 many of you did this week.
And you did a good job. You did a good job following the rules.
Those of you who kept it nice and short found
guidelines.
Heard your
suggestions.
Heard your voicemails on the air, and those who left long screeds, not so much.
So to recap, when you call, leave your name, where you're from, and make it about 30 seconds, which about half of you did this week, which is awesome. So
and you can do that at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. That's the voicemail line.
Yes.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
I feel like I just read an issue of Moon Knight. I'm pissed.
You're still buying that, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I dropped that like a...
Oh, T'Challa, why are you cutting your nails in the living room?
He's got those long claw nails, doesn't he, on his boots?
Those are gloves.
Oh. Trims those, too. He, like, his suit sheds all over the place.
Oh, my God. Who taped over my Star Trek The Next Generation tape?
You didn't wipe down the danger room.
He's got all these nature shows in the DVR. They're, like, pushing out all the other TV shows. Planet Earth.
He puts up tribal masks everywhere.
It's all on HD, so you can't get anything else in there.
You're getting specific.
Yeah. Maybe I'm projecting my own roommate issues on the page.
Wait a minute. All right. So if you want to talk more about T'Challa as a bad roommate, you can go to ifanboy.com, and that's where there's a lot of great discussion about comic books and this week's books, and you can talk about what comics you liked this week and what you didn't like and where we're wrong and what you disagree with us about.
Yeah, and if you want to email us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can call the voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, with questions or comments or T'Challa stories.
And also, like to reiterate from earlier in the show, if you want to try taking your hand at recording the intro of the show, please do. You can call the voicemail line, leave it there, or you can send us an MP3 with a recording. Feel free to go wacky with the production. Do whatever you like.
Yeah, that was really fun. We're going to do more of those. We'll send them in.
Definitely, yeah. We definitely would like to incorporate you all into the show. So,
and please do not forget that every Wednesday, usually at 3 p.m. East Coast time, sometimes a couple hours later, the iFanboy video show goes up live. This week, we had a fun show with Robert Kirkman, where we talked about some of his work, and then we talked to him at a signing. And I don't remember what next week's is. So,
next week we're looking back on the past year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Huh. Some significant number. Anyway, look for that on Wednesday. We put a lot of work into those, and we hope you like them. So,
Go to ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy and check that out.
Yep.
And also, if you're at work and you're looking for something to do other than your work, you can go to frapper.com/ifanboy and stick your pin in the map and see all the other people who have stuck their pin in the map.
And then later, you can go... No, go ahead.
We just got our first North Dakota pin this week.
Oh, really? Awesome. I've been waiting on North Dakota for months now.
Do you remember
I didn't want to say
the old days when we were like, there's nobody in the middle?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere we don't have?
Check on that.
I don't know how that damn
Africa.
Thing works.
I think we're light on Africa.
Didn't one of you find the number?
I did. It's over 700.
Nice.
Yeah.
I looked everywhere for that damn thing.
I'll show you next time we hang out.
Anyway.
There are a bunch of other places you can go to see us.
There certainly are. You can go
Places.
You can go to myspace.com/ifanboy, where we have the most friends, or comicspace.com/ifanboy, or facebook.com, where you would have to search ifanboy, or verb.com/ifanboy, which really has the nicest design, let's be honest.
That's where all the cool kids are.
And be our friend on any of those places, and then you're our friend.
And then after that, there's not much to do.
So there you go. Because you can message us through us, but it doesn't work very well.
Yeah, also, just a quick thing about that. If you want to get at a letter on the air, don't send it through one of those sites.
Yeah, contact@ifanboy.com. That's your best bet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got a few of those, and just, you know, that's just not how it works.
it's just not how it works.
I'm sorry.
We just probably won't see it.
Yeah, that's true. If you like the show, you can vote for us on Podcast Alley or iTunes. You can leave us a review for iTunes for this show or for the video show. And, tell the world what you think. Tell your friends. Tell your comic book store. Tell your mom. Tell your janitor. I don't know why I said janitor.
You know, much like comic books, the iFanboy podcasts are also more fun if you have friends to talk about them with.
Yeah.
I would assume
Ron was this week?
I don't really know. Because
just to pick a random name out of the air?
I can't look at it objectively like that and say it would be fun to listen to with a friend, but I imagine it would.
I remember when it was fun once.
I can say right now, hey, Ron, did you listen to Around Comics? That was fun, and that makes it more fun to have listened to.
Sometimes we get together and listen or watch the comic book podcast together as a group, and you should do that too. It's more fun when you do it with your friends.
When do you guys do that?
Oh.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh.
That's the oldest joke we have. So anyway, if you've got extra money to burn in a hole in your pocket and you think, God, these guys need better microphones, you can send it to you can go to ifanboy.com/donations and you can click on the donate box there on the website. And let's get the hell out of this one.
Yes, I am Ron.
I am. Damn it, I'm always last, aren't I? But the script says that. Go ahead.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Connor with my creepy voice.
Hey, I don't like
that
Jason
Todd.
That
doesn't sound like you.
T'Challa, put that down!
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.